I titled the message, Pass the Test and Get Promoted. By a show of hands, how many of you have some problems in your life? Come on, how many of you have some big problems you're facing in life? I've been facing a lot of problems in my own life. January, I had gallbladder surgery. Recently, a few weeks ago on a Sunday, I wasn't feeling well. I preached dizzy. You didn't ever know it, but I was dizzy. Preaching God's word, I was just not feeling good in my body. Over a week ago, I was on a plane headed to a conference I was preaching and leading at, and the plane got delayed. Didn't arrive till like 2 a.m. The rent car place was closed, so I couldn't get my rental car. And of course, it's 2 a.m. in the morning, so, I mean, nothing's available. And there's one taxi sitting there, and I'm racing to get to the taxi. I see another guy, and the old boy beats me to the taxi. But the taxi driver was kind enough to say, hey, where are you going to? Told him the hotel, let me get in the car with the other fella, and took me to the hotel room. And the next day in this hotel room, I'm in the bathroom. It's one of those sliding glass doors. I close the sliding glass door into the bathroom, go in, take a shower, get out the shower, and I dry off, and I'm trying to get out the bathroom door, and the bathroom door, the glass door, would not open. It opened like that far, and I'm stuck in the bathroom at 12:30 in the morning. I cannot get out, and then I get my phone. Thank God I have my phone, and I was worshiping the Lord. Ah, thank you, God. I was worshiping Jesus with my phone while I was taking a shower, and so I called the front desk. And I called the front, and nobody was answering. I was like, are they sleeping at the front desk? And finally they answer, and the old boy says, oh, you're stuck in the bathroom? I'm like, yeah, I'm stuck in the bathroom. I think he thought I was lying. I'm like, no, brother, I'm stuck in the bathroom. He said, what room number are you? I told him my name, room number, and I could barely get out the bathroom door just enough to unlock the door and to let him in. And he came in and just trying to get the door open. I thought the brother was going to break the glass door. He said, hey, man, step all the way back against the bathroom wall just in case the glass door breaks. I mean, I'm having problems. Can't get out the bathroom at the hotel room. And then, hey, this past week, I had an MRI on my shoulder. They think maybe something's wrong with my rotator cuff. I pray that I don't have to have shoulder surgery. And then my wife is battling health issues. Problems! We all have problems. I've learned that our problems are not just problems. They're a test. James says it like this in James chapter number 1 and verse 2 and 3, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing, come on, every location, shout testing. Oh, come on, I can hear you all the way in Indianapolis. You didn't shout that. Come on, shout testing. Yeah, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Your trials and problems are a test. All of us understand how tests work. We take the test, and then we get a grade on how well we did on the test. And some people are better test takers than others. Where are my good test takers at today? Where are the good test takers at? Come on, where are all my A students? Come on, just lift your head, A students. Where are all my B students? Where are my B students? Where are my C students? Come on, if you're a C student or lie, just type the word C. Just write that letter C. Come on, I won't even ask about my D and F students. We're going to leave you alone today. In school, if we failed the test, we didn't pass the class, and we ended up having to take the class again. If a person passes the test in the sixth grade, then the teacher knows they're prepared for the seventh grade, and then they get promoted to the next grade. It's the same way in God's kingdom. Your problems are God's test to prepare you for what he has next in your life. If you pass the test, God knows you're prepared for what he has next, and he can promote you. Test produced inside of you what you need for the next season of life. James says it like this in James chapter 1, verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, when you pass the test, they always produce something good in your life. The testing of your faith prepares you for your purpose. Church, there's purpose in your pain. No problem is just a problem. It's preparation for your purpose. James goes on to say it like this in James chapter 1, verse number 12. He says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. James says, having stood the test, having passed the test, you will receive the crown of life. James is giving us a principle we see all throughout the Bible. If you pass the test, you will be rewarded, because tests prepare you for your purpose. But you have to pass the test. You have to realize the trial you're facing is a test. The pain you're encountering is a test. Problems are the vehicle God uses to prepare you for your purpose. When you understand that every problem, every pain, every difficulty, every challenge is preparing you for your purpose, you look at your problems differently. You realize that no problem is just a problem. It's preparation for your purpose, but you have to pass the test. In America, before a product goes to the market, it's first tested. I'm so glad they test products before we use them. Aren't you glad, church, that they test airplanes before you fly, cars before you drive them, chairs before you sit in them, microwaves before you use them? Manufacturers will test products from 3 months all the way to 24 months to ensure the product is ready for public use. If the product doesn't pass the test, the manufacturer knows it's not ready for public use. It has to stay in testing mode until it passed the test. The manufacturer has to ensure the product is safe and meets quality regulation standards. They want to reduce the risk of product failure, so they will keep it in test mode until it passes the test. Some of you are stuck in testing mode because you're not passing the test. You're viewing that person you keep having issues with as just a big problem, but it's actually a test. You're viewing your pain as just a problem, but it's a test. You're viewing your setback and failure as just a problem, but it's a test. You're viewing your adversity at work, at school, or with your family as just a problem, but it's a test. So you're always complaining about all of your problems because you think your problems are keeping you from your purpose. But your problems are actually a test. God wants to use all of your problems to prepare you for your purpose. God will test you to prepare you for your purpose. God tested Abraham. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. God used test to prepare Abraham for his purpose. Abraham, your problem was not just a problem, it was a test. God tested Joseph in Psalm 105, verse 19. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Joseph, I know your brothers wanted to kill you, then they sold you into slavery. I know you were falsely accused of rape and then thrown into the prison. I know you were forgotten about in the prison. But Joseph, those problems were not just problems, they were tests. God tested Moses and the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 4. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. God used tests to prepare the people of Israel, God's people, for their purpose. God tested Job, Job 23, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Job went through problem after problem, but they were tests to prepare him for what God had next. God tested David. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, David prayed this prayer, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. And no doubt God tested David. And in this series, Stay in Your Lane, we've been studying David. We've been learning all the different ways that David prepared for what God had prepared for him. And David encountered test after test. He passed the test and God promoted him. He became the next king of Israel. Today, let's look at some of the adversity tests that David had to pass. I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you passing the test? Are you prepared for your purpose? Come on, I want to quickly give you five tests you need to pass. Five tests you need to pass. Number one is this. Write this out. Come on, all my note takers, write this down. The forgotten test. Forgotten test. 1 Samuel 17, verse 15 says, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. I've highlighted this several times throughout this series because it's so important. After David was anointed to be king, around 15 years went by before David actually became the king. He was chosen and anointed, yet he had to continue to take care of his father's sheep. And he also went to the palace to serve King Saul. When you're waiting on God to fulfill his promise in your life, it's a testing season. The waiting seasons can oftentimes feel like God has forgotten you, but waiting seasons are testing seasons. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years on the promise of God. Joseph waited 13 years before his dream came to pass. Moses waited 40 years before he stepped into his purpose. Jesus waited 30 years to begin his public ministry. Your waiting season is not a problem, it's a test. And the only thing worse than waiting on God is wishing that you would have. Just because God has spoken something to your heart or has called you or chosen you or anointed you or has given you a dream doesn't mean you should rush to make it happen. Maybe you feel like God has spoken to you to be in full-time ministry and you feel like my next step is quitting my job. Hold up! The old saying, some were called, some were sent, and some just went. Hey, wait on the Lord. Maybe you feel like God spoke to you and told you that that person is going to be your wife or be your husband. And you are like, my next step is to let them know I'm going to marry you. Hold up. You first need to ask them out on a date. Hold up. Just because you have a word from God and you're anointed doesn't mean you're ready to be appointed. The waiting season is a test. If you pass the test, God will use it to prepare you for your purpose. Number two, the failure test. The Bible doesn't highlight all of David's failures throughout his life. Most of us know about the big failure the Bible highlights. When he became king, he committed adultery, had her husband, the woman's husband, murdered. But this wasn't David's only failure in life. He was a flawed human, just like all of us are. And there's no doubt he faced failure many times throughout his life. He faced failure taking care of his father's sheep, failure as he was learning how to play the harp, failure with his siblings, failure as he was learning how to use the slingshot. We know David responded to failure in a godly way because God called him a man after his own heart. He was a man of repentance, a man who prayed through failure, who worshiped through failure, who learned from failure, who got better from failure. How do you respond to failure? Failure is not the opposite of success. It's a part of success. How are you responding? Henry Ford said, failure is simply the opportunity to begin again. This time, More intelligently, Albert Einstein said, failure is success in progress. It's not failure, it's unfinished success. Bill Gates said, it's fine to celebrate success, but it's more important to heed the lessons of failure. Someone once said, never let success get to your head, and never let failure get to your heart. I know you may have failed the class or the grade. You had to close the first business you started. Your first marriage ended. You got let go from the job. You filed bankruptcy. Your car got repossessed. You had to foreclose on the house. You didn't get the job or the promotion. But don't let failure get to your heart. Don't let it stop you from moving forward. It's just a test. It's there to prepare you for your purpose. Number three is this, family and friends test. Family and friends test. David's life was riddled with relationship challenges. His dad didn't invite him inside the house when the prophet came to select him to be the next king. His oldest brother belittled him, and he told David he had a wicked heart. King Saul was jealous of David and tried to kill him several occasions. His wife made fun of him, praising God. His own son tried to steal the kingdom from him. David had to pass the family and friends test, and I'm going to talk more about this next week. This is huge. This is huge, but I want you to know that we all face the family and friends test. We all have to learn how to respond correctly to the people who hurt us. All of us get offended by the things people do and say. Getting offended is a part of life. Living offended is a choice. Will you pass the test by guarding your heart from offense, or will you fail the test by allowing offense to grow in your heart? You have to pass the family and friends test. Number four. Come on, I'm helping somebody today. Somebody is starting to see your problems differently today. Somebody is starting to see these problems are actually a test. Number four, the finance test. From a young boy, David encountered the finance test. He was entrusted with the responsibility of taking care of his father's sheep, which was actually his family's primary source of income. David was a wise steward of all the resources he was entrusted to manage. One day, David, his dad told him, hey, take this bread, this grain, this cheese to your brothers who were soldiers in the Israelite army. They were in this battle against the Philistines. And here's what happened. I want you to catch this in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. It says, early in the morning, David left the flocks in the care of a shepherd. David made sure the sheep were taken care of while he was gone running this errand for his dad. He was responsible with the resources to make sure the sheep were taken care of. He would make sure what was entrusted to him was taken care of. And he loaded up and set out, it says. As Jesse had directed, he reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry, Israel, and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. And then David, it says, has left the things, the cheese, the bread. He left the things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines, and he asked his brothers how they were. I love how the Bible points out these little details. It shows us how David was responsible with the resources that was entrusted to him. He ensured the bread, the grain, the cheese were kept safe. He left them with the keeper of the supplies. These were entrusted to me. I got to make sure they're taken care of. When I run to the battle lines, I want to make sure they're okay. He was passing the financial test. I love what 1 Samuel 17, verse 15 says. It says, but David went back and forth from Saul to attend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David was going back and forth from the king's palace to his father's home. He was serving King Saul, but he also wanted to ensure the sheep were taken care of. David was very responsible with the resources that were entrusted to him. Question, Are you responsible with the resources God has entrusted to you? Preparing for your purpose will require you to pass the financial test. You have to manage well what God has already entrusted to your care. That means you're spending less than you make every month. You're paying your bills on time. You're saving money for a rainy day. You're investing for the future. You're tithing and giving to God. Did you realize that tithing is actually a test? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe, that's 10% of our income, into the storehouse, the local church where you worship, that there may be food in my house. Catch this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Everybody wants God to bless their life, their finances, their future. They want God to promote them, to elevate them. They want God to bless them. They want to step into their God-given purpose. But the question is, how are you managing the resources God has already entrusted to your care? Are you passing the test? Passing the test. Number five. Write this down. Number five, the fight test. David fought the lion and the bear, and he was taking care of his father's sheep. This lion and bear came, and he fought them. And then we see later that David fought the Philistine giant named Goliath. David passed the fight test, and it prepared him for his purpose. The giants you're facing in life are a test. You have to fight the giants you're facing with spiritual weapons, with prayer. Fight with worship. Fight with faith. Fight with the word of God. You have to fight the giants of life to get promoted. Your purpose is on the other side of that giant that's in your way. Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You have to fight the good fight of faith. Living out God's purpose for your life is a faith fight. Put up your spiritual dukes, and you have to fight for your purpose. The giants you're facing right now are a test. Every problem in your life is not just a problem. It's a test. Pass the test, and you will step into your purpose. It's a test. It's a test. It's a test. Are you passing the test? James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. He says, choose the right perspective when you face trials. Choose joy because you know it's just a test. Verse 3, because you know the testing of your faith is producing perseverance. Realize your problem, not just a problem, it's a test. If you pass, it will produce what you need for your purpose. This is for somebody today. Let perseverance finish its work. I know it's hard. I know it's painful. I know it's not fair what you're going through. Oh, but if you realize it's a test and you will let it finish its work, it's doing something in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If you'll pass the test, can I tell you, you'll have everything that you need on the inside of you to be promoted to your purpose. Your problems are not just problems. They are a test. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for showing us from David's life that when he got a dream, when you spoke to him, when he was anointed to become the next king, he had to go through adversity after adversity, but it was only a test. And God, I pray you strengthen my friends. You help our church family. Lord, as they face the tests in life, God, would you strengthen by the power of the Holy Spirit? It's hard. It's not easy. Tears are streaming down somebody's face right now because life has been hard. But God, I pray today that you would help them to understand, no matter how difficult it is, that, Lord, they're facing a test. And if they will persevere, you're going to promote them to their purpose. I pray that you would strengthen and help in Jesus' name. As eyes are still closed and heads are still bowed at every single location, right now, I'm talking to some people that life has been so hard on you, and that's one of the reasons why you're not serving Jesus. Life's hard. Life's not fair. Pastor, why do bad things happen to good people? Why did the baby die? Why the famine? Why the tornado that hit Oklahoma and it injured people and people lost homes? And Pastor, all the bad things. And I tell you, there's a real devil, and the devil wants to use bad things to drive you away from God. But God wants to use all the bad, because we live in a fallen world. Adam and Eve sinned, and because of sin, because they failed, it ushered in sin in our world. And the devil wants to use all the bad to drive you away from God, but God wants to use it to drive you to Him. Today, don't let all the bad things, all the problems, keep you away from God. Some of you used to serve God, used to live for Jesus, but bad things have happened, difficult times have happened, and it's pulled you away from God because of the hard times. Don't let it keep you from God. Today's your day to come back home and to say, God, these problems that I'm going through, I'm going to allow it to drive me to you today. If that's you, you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to surrender your heart to Him. Today, you want to say yes to Him. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand across every location today. You want to say, God, today, the problems that I'm facing, I'm not going to let them keep me in sin and away from you. I'm going to let them drive me to you. Just shoot your hand high in the air. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to be right with God. Today's the day for your sins to be forgiven. Today's the day to draw near to God. Today is your day. 1, 2, 3. Just lift it now. Every location, just now. Every location, hands are going up. Every location, just hands are going up right now. People on the online right now, click the raise your hand button. You're saying yes to Jesus. Every hand that's lifted right now, right now, right. Every hand that's lifted, pray this prayer with me right now. Heavenly Father, oh, life's been hard, but I turn from sin and I trust you today. I give you my heart and my life. I surrender my life to Jesus Christ, and today I make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. And Heavenly Father, I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. No matter how hard life gets, I declare today my life belongs to Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray.